So let's pick up where we were and also try to speak a little bit about Mnemonus. Mnemonus is a massive topic, but, Pata below Klimi Epshar for sure. But, you know, of course, we won't be able to do it fully, but this is, you know, only one of the many places where it comes up. So we'll try to talk about at least some of the local issues and, you know, Ot Chazon Lamoed. But before we get to that, we're in the middle of discussing the problem of L'shaili. So what we've seen so far, this is really a kind of a combination of two topics. It's really, you know, the question of L'shaili, which we'll get to in a second, meaning in Efshelavarer, Tzorachelavarer, or not. I mean, what happens if you have a situation where you have a halakhic mechanism which is valid and which typically solves, either solves the problem, we'll get that in a moment, or if not, at least it allows you to move forward. That is, it kind of neutralizes halakhic paralysis. The Torah gives you a methodology of how to advance. However, if it's Efshel Avarer, if you have a better way to clarify, right, you can ask somebody, like, what happened here, instead of just relying on a chazaka or a rove or a sexfeka or something darbanu l'kula, then are you obligated to do that or not? So that's sort of one question, and we're going to discuss that more fully now. That's something we discussed very extensively last year. And of course, since it's in connection with the din of Bedikas Chametz, of course, that becomes part of the story. And that's why we're on the lookout. You know, we're very conscious of any potential discrepancies. We're interested in discrepancies anyways when it comes to this fascinating question, because it does seem to be a question that goes to the core and essence of how these and why these various halakhic mechanisms work, and whether or not we're reticent in any way to use them, whether considered the chatchila b'diyev, and what exactly are the issues involved. So any kind of discrepancies or distinctions are obviously a matter of great, you know, interest. They might really illuminate, you know, either the principles itself, the principle itself, or the applications. But because we're learning Bedikas Chametz right now, Bedikas Chametz Doraisa, Bedikas Chametz Drabanan. So we're particularly also curious whether or not any discrepancies reflect anything about Bedikas Chametz. So one element, of course, the most objective element, is that Bedikas Chametz, if it's only Drabanan, right, that might be a factor. That, of course, is not singular to Bedikas Chametz. That would apply to other dinim drabanan too. Like when you say Sveika drabanan lekula, what about Efshel Avarer, Tzorach Avarer there? So if we're dealing with a situation where you do bittul and therefore the Bedika here is only drabanan, clearly, you know, that's going to come under that rubric. But if this is even different than other dinam d'rabanan, or if we're talking about Bedika d'araisa, right, and it's different, so then of course it is going to be also further evidence to, you know, bolster our understanding of the singular nature of this mitzvah. Again, it could be l'kula, it could be l'chumra. So that's kind of what we are trying to do. And then the possibility that Bedikas Chametz was nitkan ala safek, which makes it more chamur, and that again is the language of the Raibid on the Rif later on, even though he himself seems to have been oblivious to it in his attacks against the Rambam. The Rambam seems to be operating kind of with that notion in Perek Beis, Halacha Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, etc. But it's a very, very important principle, the idea that that's what Bedikas Chametz is. Right, they were, to begin with, it was structured that you should be searching for the chametz. You know, even though it's, of course, not knowing that there's chametz there, certainly. I mean, no one thinks that the Mitzvah Bedikas Chametz applies only when you 100% know that there's chametz in the Rishus. Right? Typically, the category is the category that is, you know, kind of already explicated in the Mishnah. Mokom Shemachnisin Bolas HaChametz. Even if it's chametz She'ini Yadua. We still have to talk about the status of chametz She'ini Yadua with respect to Bittul. And, you know, things of that chametz Yadua, chametz She'ini Yadua. We have talked already about the status of Bedikas Chametz She'ini Yadua. Let's say because you did a Bedika, or it's Mokom She'in Machnisin Bolas HaChametz. Things of that sort. But the idea that Bedikas Chametz is Nitkan Ala Safek can also be explained in different ways, is what I'm trying to say. Number one, the question is it true? That's a debate, clearly. If it is true, just to make it clear, it could be true because that's simply what the structure of Bedikas Chametz, the mitzvah, you know, is all about. In a way, parallel to Demai, both are parallel to Demai, really, and saying that the Chachamim instituted Demai, you know, Meirosh, you know, in a case of suffering. So, of course, it makes sense to assume that any suffek, hafrasha, is vadai, typically chayav b'demai, because that's the circumstances. Of course, in the case of demai, it's even more than that. They knew that rov amei aretz were ma'asrin, and that only miut was not, so it was even nitgam b'mokom miut. So, similarly, in bedikas chametz, to begin with, it's structured from Mokom Shemachnisim Bolas HaChametz Misafek. That's presumably, you know, what we are talking about. However, there are different ways to look at it. We'll see soon. But there's another possibility as well, and that is, this may be true for Demai as well, too. And that is that maybe the idea of Shmira Yisera, Ushmartem, right, whether it's in, yeah, we'll leave it for Bedikas Chametz for the moment. Something that we've encountered in the Yerushalmi and echoes of it in other Rishonim too, and making sure that right from the very beginning of Yudalit, that it's already the bias of Shamor, etc. So all these things also may add, as we discussed with Ramban and Chul in the Beis Medeis, as a paradigm, that, you know, a suffix is not acceptable either. So again, these are not mutually exclusive ideas. Maybe that's the reason that it was technically, structurally nitkan ala safek. But that certainly adds a dimension to it. You could assume that there are both of these, or one of these. The other side of the coin is that it's always really a safek, and you know, therefore there's a chiyuv bedika, but that doesn't mean that when you have a safek, whether there was a bedika, you know, that would be still that it's nitkan ala safek in that respect. In other words, what I'm suggesting is that you certainly can still be mechalek between different scenarios. In other words, if you have a mokom shemachnisin bolas hachametz, and the question is, to begin with, are you obligated to see if there's actual chametz there? That's one kind of a question. And there you might say there's no safek at all, because it's practically a vadai that there's safek, that there's chametz, or there was chametz at some point in the Rishus all year round. You know, relative to right now, prior to Pesach, when it matters. I'll explain a little bit differently in a moment, but the pashtus. So then you don't even have to say that it's nitkan al safek. Really, there's chametz there, you know, you've got to get rid of it. You know, there's no doubt that there's some chametz. We'll get to that in a second. But even, you know, that's one. Even absent, even if you want to say, well, you never know 100%. You know, you have the cleaning person coming, or you clean in now and then. You're not really sure, you know, maybe there's not such a rove that there's chametz there, etc. So it's not close to being a vadai. It really is nitkan ala safek. But being nitkan ala safek, if we're talking about mokom shemachnisin, bo chametz, to be obligated to search, is one thing. If the question is whether a search took place, in other words, it's a mokom shemachnisin bolas hachametz, it's certainly a chiyuv bedika. Now the question is, was there a kiyum bedika? Did a bedika happen? Which is what we're talking about in the sugya. We're not talking about whether, to begin with, this isn't a place of chiyuv bedika. We're talking about, did the bedika took place? Can you be relying on a chazaka that the maskir did his job. Or if other, you know, third parties tell you they did it, or other people did it, we'll get to all of that in a moment, can you believe them or not? So that's already beyond Mokom Shemachnisin Bo'os HaChametz, which is Mechayev. That goes to the question of, you know, the second level. Was the din of Bedikas Chametz properly carried out? Or, I'll give you another situation. What if you have a suffek whether a place is a Mokom Shemachnisin Bo'os HaChametz or not? Right? Either the type of place that it is, or what the or a halachic suffek, you know, of what constitutes that. Or, if, you know, there's some requirement that there had been some, you know, reality of knisas chametz there at some point or another, and that's, you know, part of what defines makom shemachnisa, not just objectively, you know, the type of places. So let's say you're in the suffek, whether that took place, whatever it is. This is a whole different category. Not the din of Bdikas Chametz, how you understand it, in a Makom Shemachnisin, but a Safek Makom Shemachnisin, which is another way of saying a Safek where there's a Chiyuv Bdika, as opposed to a Safek where there's Chametz in that place. Right? That's a second level of Safek. Is that also possibly Nitkan Ala Safek? Also subject to Shmira? Shmira, maybe. But in terms of the Chiyuv Bedika, not necessarily. Well, let's say you have a third scenario, right? Or a fourth scenario. So if we talk about Mokom Shemachnisin Bo as a Chametz per se, then you have Safek Mokom Shemachnisin Bo as a Chametz for various reasons. Halachic, structural, factual, right? Three A, B, and C, you could call it, of two. Then there's Safek Nivdak Mokom Shechayev Bebdika. Was it Nivdak or not? That's our circuit. That's still a different suffix. But then you have a fourth suffix. It could be there more. I'm just identifying four. And that is, let's say you certainly did a Bedikas Chametz, right? And then the question is, was it undone? Was it disrupted? Right? Did something then take place, right, to trigger another bedika, or to undo the bedika? That, of course, is very much the sugya later on. When you see an achbor, right, or a bardalus, or a chatul, or a kelev, or whatever it is, you know, walking around munching a piece of chametz, you know, what happens under those conditions, right? Either to create a Mokom Shel Machnisin Bo as a Chametz, or to undo a Bedika that already took place. And even within that, again, I don't want to prosecute that case right now, I hope we'll be able to discuss it more fully, but just foreshadowing to save time later on. We try to be investors, you know, a little bit on the front-loaded side. Hopefully it pays off. But just to identify, maybe the nature of the suffix there also matters, right? Whether or not, you know, vadai nichnas, you know, suffix hiniach, you know, or lo hiniach, or achal. What about suffix nichnas? What about different types of sfeikos of nichnas? Right? Let's say you have it, it went into one of two places, but you don't know which one. But it definitely went into one of the two, or it went, you know, you're not sure if it went even into one. So all of those cases, or this becomes like a basis, you know, to analyze some of the differences later on. And some of those cases that the Rambam is speaking about from here in the first parak of Pesachim, the Ravid, the Rambam, it might explain some of the discrepancies, certainly explain some of the discrepancies in the Rishonim themselves. Why in some cases we seem to say suffik bedika lakula, and in other cases we don't. Are we talking about, you know, again, a renegotiation of suffik makom shemachnisin, or safek machom shechayev bedika, or a safek hafkaas bedika, and what are the stakos themselves? So, this is all part of the question and the topic. Now I'm going to go back and just summarize what we have in our particular sugya. But there are at least, as I say, four different types of safek bedikas chametz, and within those four, as I say, there are subcategories, especially in the last, which can be perceived a little differently and may be a nafka mina with regard to this issue and this question. However, just to make it a little bit, before we go into back into the details just for a minute, this question about B'dikas Chametz and how it's nitkan and how we look at it, in addition to things I just mentioned, the structure of the B'dikas Chametz mitzvah itself. Again, this might be Mechalik Tri, the Drabban, one of the Daraisa one, if there are two, which many of you don't think there are. The structure, the Din Shmira, all of these things, there is another factor. And that is something that goes again to the core of all these issues of B'dikas Chametz. And I think it's potentially highlighted by the other question that we, the two other questions that we encounter in this particular sugya that we mentioned the other day. One is the question of whether or not, in analyzing stakos of B'dikas Chametz, we consider to be ischazik Isura or not. Okay, I mentioned that that the Raman, Simen Kuf Chav Zayin, Siv Gimel, says as a Dover Pasha, he's talking there, Kuf Chav Zayin in Yoredeya, as we'll see, is a big, it's about Nisuch HaYayin, other things, but it's really about Eidecha Nam Bisur. So the Raman says, that's an example of Eidecha Neman Bisurim Shelo Keneged. Right, ischazik isura. B'dikas chametz. Right? And the Magen Avraham, if we can have it here just for a second, we have this new setup here. I don't know whether the people on Zoom can see it, probably not. Right? But the people in the room can see it. The Magen Avraham in Sif Katan, the end of Simen Taflamed Zayin, right, quotes the Ramah. And disputes it, right? And then I think you have the Tshuva. I'm sorry, the Bar Hete, right? Okay, we're back. You know, you have the Ramah on top, right? Which is Yesh Hakim Meir Adav Zvar Yisur, the Meir Yisur Dravon Mahalka Velo Shazik Yisura Kigom B'dikas Chametz Nema the new Rabban of the Dravon, right? Aval in Ischazik Isura, Eino Neman. Like, you know, this is amazing because they can actually see. Can you actually see? No? No. In my screen, there's something in the back there. Right?
You can vaguely see that it's there, but you can't really see the words.
Oh, okay. Ellie's not happy.
Maybe with Rebbe and new glasses, you can see the
words. Oh, you also noticed. Okay, thanks. Right, it's an improvement for me at least. So then the Magen Avraham, the Tzarchi Yom Arama, Shekosav Yardei Sim Kuf Kav Zayin B'chametz Lo Ischazik Isura. So Lefikach, right, I could see Ellie and the thing at the same time. Right, Naminan, the Chametz Ischazik Isura. The Kamosh Shekosav Yivosh B'Hed Yisim and Reish Men Hei. Ellie Yesh Nemanim Mishum Shu B'Yadim. We'll get that in a minute. Right, B'chametz Yardei Sim Kuf Chav. Beis Yosef, right? The Laman Gamar Tfilas Kelim Drabanim Neman Amafkav Nischazik Yisura. So there's a debate whether or not Eidecha Neman Yisura Nischazik Yisura Drabanim will work. But there's also a debate here. Again, I don't want to go into the Tshuva Sarivash right now, but it's definitely worth looking at whether or not Chametz is considered to be Ischazik Yisura. That's a fascinating question. Right, now again, if you did B'dika Namakom, then an Achbar or something, you know, came around and we're not sure whether he deposited, or we know he deposited, but we're not sure that he ate, or we know he deposited in one place, and You know, that, typically, there isn't there a cheskas baduk? Interesting question. And what about a regular makom shemachnisim bo hachametz? Right? Is that considered a chazak isura if we're not sure 100% that there was chametz there? Ever? It's only a makom shemachnisim? Again, what about a suffik makom? All these questions. Is it a chazak isura? I mean, you use chametz in your home all year round. That doesn't mean that you don't eat it at some point. Right? So you can never, is it really a chazak isura? Or especially if you're not sure. Does it go case by case? Whether you know for sure there was ever chametz in that place or not? Interesting question. And the parallel to that question, it comes up in the Efshel Avarer, Tzarech Lavarer discussion. Do we have it here? Well, the Beis Yosef and the Bach that I mentioned the other day. Right? Where the Beis Yosef is troubled by the discrepancy between Trefa. What do you mean Trefa? You know, whether you have a suffix, whether an animal is a Trefa. There we don't say Efshel Avarer, Tzarech Lavarer. Right, but when it comes to Shechita, and when it comes to Chametz, according to the Pashtus of the Gemara, and most of the Rishonim, right, there's a din of Lashayla. Says the Beit Yosef, right, that who's running the... Okay, great. Okay, good to have you back doing this. So the Beit Yosef has a terrific law. Ki Yisrael Maskun Sekem? Yes. Very interesting. Says the Bach, I mean, what do you mean? What's the difference? Okay, now Ikar, the behemoth shiny shechazkas kashrusa, mi melehi, mash enke bevais baduk, eno elo ideshi badkenu, habala bayis. Efsha shal ideze, shum siba shalabodku, vachain sricha le mishaila. Mitams abishokin yusuk kaman tzorku mimpike. Ain't some kind of road. Right? The same thing would be true for B'dikas Chametz. So it's an interesting question, this debate between the Bach and the Beit Yosef. I'll get back to the Tzarech Lavarer part of it in just a second. But it's an interesting parallel. It's not exactly the same. Everybody can hear me in the back, by the way? Yeah? It's an interesting parallel, because the Beit Yosef is basically saying, this is like, you know, behema becheskas isra medes achi vadalcha. But is that true if it was already, you know, if the chazaka is that it's baduk? Right? Or let me say it the other way, just getting back to the Magen Avraham and the Ramah. Right? If it's ischazak isura, that there's chametz there, you know, then that's one thing, then it's not like trefa. But is it really a chazak isura? Right? So those are interesting questions. So what I wanted to suggest is the following. If you look at the language of the Beis Yosef, I think it's very meduyak that he speaks about the bias baduk. He says the bias is not baduk kalashan. Here I think that one could distinguish in B'dikas Chametz between two focal points. One is the chametz ve'en, and the other is the status of the bias as bias baduk. And this, of course, is something which we have been discussing, right, when we talked about whether it's ba'yiran or the raisa level, you know, because of the role of bias and so on. You know, shalcha, beischa, gvulcha, reshuscha, that whole discussion. Or maybe more particularly when it comes to the Vedika, right? Biarti HaKodesh Min Abayis, you know, Pinuy Abayis, And that is, to what extent in Bedikas Chametz is the focal point on the presence of Be'en per se and the finding of the Be'en? Or, and they're not mutually exclusive, obviously they overlap a lot, or on the status of the bias, being a bias baduk. Maybe the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz isn't to make sure there's no chametz in your home, Shema Yochal, alone. Maybe that's the Mechayev, maybe it isn't the essence of the Takana. Maybe it's not even the Mechayev. Right? Maybe from that point of view, you know, that would be Safek Lekula. Maybe the real Takana Bedika, or the Dindaraisa Bedika, as the case may be, is that the bias be a chametz-free zone, that you establish the bias as a chametz-free zone. And maybe as far as that is concerned, I'm not sure if you need this, but I'm going to add it. The issue that we talked about in our Hagdama a lot, which is there even a chalos shame chametz all year round, outside of the Mikdash? And if not, when does that chalos shame chametz and matzah, when does it kick in? Right, is it shloshim yom? By the way, I just should add, I saw in the, again, Shidim Kibetz, I saw on, you know, the Rav Gershuni's on Pesachim. So he quotes from the Chidushi Arim, who asked, like, why is the whole Maskir Socher, why is everything focused on Yom Yedaleh? Why isn't it focused on Shloshim Yom? And it's not so difficult to answer that question. But it goes on the list, you know. I mentioned that Rav Yaakov Emden, in his Tshuva, speaks about Shloshim Yom in terms of you know, defining the chiyuv of making sure that you can be there for Karban Pesach. Shloshim Yom Fneachag, Shloshim Yom has impact in terms of Bior and Bedika. So again, when does the chalos kick in? Shloshim Yom, Rosh Chodesh? It was also like Yerushalmi comment about Rosh Chodesh. Right, Yochel mi Rosh Chodesh, Chodesh Aviv. Is it Yom Yedaled? At night, at morning, at Chatzos? So when you think about it, like if we're asking this question, like what really is the Chiyuv of Bedikas Chametz? Right? And what, especially vis-a-vis the problem of suffering, if you look at it in terms of the presence of the Be'en, and you focus just on, you know, neutralizing that presence with respect to Rabbi Matzei, etc., or the mitzvah of Tashbisu, that's one way to look at it. And there certainly is, you know, probably the preponderant evidence is to look at it that way. However, if you take the view that the Be'en presence of the potential Be'en presence of the Chametz is really just about establishing that your Gevulcha, your Beischa, your Rishus, right, is a place of Chametz, or at least it's not a place which has been certified, we'll call it, formalized, as a place that is chametz rein, free of chametz, a chametz-free zone, if you're looking at the makom, then that's a very different idea. Right? So, all year round, your place is certainly not a makom she'ein bo chametz. In a way, you could even go further, I'm not sure if you should, even if there's no known chametz in your rishos. Right? But it's not a chametz-free zone. Right? People aren't preparing for it. There's no chalos, ad kedei kach, you know, all year round. Don't look at it that way. You don't even, the question doesn't even, you know, come on our radar screens, halachic radar screens. Right? But once you start getting within Shloshim Yom or Rosh Chodesh, especially your Dalit, you know, if that's part of the Din of Bal Yiroah, or whether the Din D'Oraisa of Tashbisu, Biarti HaKodesh Min Abayis, right? Whether it's Zoraisa, Draban, whatever it is, if the din is at the home, has to be, right? Panui, right? Min HaChametz, that's something which, of course, is a Cheskas Iser for that. Even if we never knew there was any Ben. Now, the truth is, this whole question, Again, has a lot to do with the language of Bi'ur, also Bi'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, for sure. It goes to the heart of other things too. We'll get to it when we talk about the bracha. I already alluded to this fact already. You know, we have the minhag, let's say, to put out pieces, you know, of chametz, you know, when we do our search. And some of the Rishonim thought there's no need for that. Well, they like it, others. And then the Gra. Because the point is that you should search. You should do a bedika. Right? It's not to find the chametz. But it's like in the bracha lebatala, if you didn't find any chametz. Right? One way to look at it, in other words, the bedika, especially focused on the bed, might be. No, that's what it is. It's to procure, right, chametz for the sake of tashbis. Okay. Then the focus is completely on the Be'en. And that's why we put it there. So at least we'll have something to find. Just like the discussion of, again, the Minchas Chinuch and others, but if you don't have any chametz, you have to buy it or acquire it, procure it, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbis. But the other way to look at it is, and maybe even the way to look at, you know, the minhag to put out the pieces, that inspires a bedika. It highlights it's a makom shemachnisim bal chametz. And again, it motivates you, or maybe it's a shiur in having a good bedika if you find the amount, and if you don't, then you're in trouble and you get, you know, to that safek, you know, sugya in the Gemara's coming up. But again, if the perspective is the be'en of chametz that you find or don't find, that's one thing. But if you're talking about turning the chametz into chametz she'ena yadua, or especially one of the things we're suggesting for the Ram, the bias into a bias baduk, and certifying it that way, right, then the whole search, of course, is to you need a search in order to create that chalos. That's different than the be'en focus, which says you need a search to make 100% sure. Shama yochal, you know, or that it's not chametz yadua which remains in your rishos. Now again, it's not mutually exclusive. It could be that both things are true. But the perspectives are very different. So if you ask me about the Rama and the Magen Avraham, I would say, or about the Beis Yosef and the Bach, the way I would explain it would be that, you know, even if you don't know at all there was Be'en in your home, if it was Be'en and you don't know that there's still Be'en, you know, then you can start comparing it. Is it like Trefa? Is it like Shchita? Is it like Chazak Isura? Not Chazak Isura? I'm also not suggesting that Chazak Isura and the Bach and the Beis Yosef are Hal B'Matalia, but I think that they are parallel, if not identical, issues. All I'm saying is if the issue is bias baduk, then all year round your bias is not a baduk from the chametz. Even if you're the best homemaker, homekeeper, you know, you're a cleanliness freak, you're an anti-chametz, it doesn't matter, there's no chalos, I would say. It's not pragmatic, it's not whether there's the end there that's going to disrupt your Pesach. It's the certification of a makom baduk. Ah. So if this is the case, we can have greater insight on the Bach of the Beis Yosef. I'll get back to them in a minute anyway. Greater insight into the Rama and the Magen Avraham. But also, I think, since we're in a hurry, greater insight into the final sugya of this little group before we get to Shehiya, namely, what happens when you acquire through Schirus or Kinyan, whatever it is, a home based on the assumption that what? That it is Baduk. And it turns out that it isn't. And this Gemara is Mistapek, whether that's Mekach Tavos. Correct? Aaron, so what's the story there again? A pagam and a gufa mekach. Do we have that one? That's the Sifkat Mzai. Yeah, can you read it?
Yeah.
Meaning, this whole the Shakam Tart is very strange. So what does he end up saying? Yeah, but that doesn't really answer the problem. I mean, additional circumstances that would explain how you could torpedo the Mekach since it was a Tanai, even though it's not really a Pagam in the Chepta, correct? Okay. Rabbeinu David is very sensitive to this issue too. Again, as we know, there are different sheets of the Rishonim already. I mean, you have the Tosas. I'm not going to review them. I was mentioned. Tosas, of course, says we're not talking about Yom Yadalid, because then it would certainly be a Mekach Tos. The Ran says, even if that's the case, it wouldn't be a Mekach Tos, it would be a Chiyuv Tashlumin. Right? And then the Ran himself says, maybe it isn't even a Chiyuv Tashlumin, because it's a mitzvah, the Rami Alei, not the monetary part of it. Very fascinating views, either about mitzvahs in general, costly mitzvahs, right? Talked a little about that last night, mitzvahs at cost, right? Or, in general, the nature of, can you put like a price tag on a mitzvah? Okay, so there are different sheets. Rabbeinu David says, oh, the tashlumin part, that's a davar pashut, that there would be a chiyuv against the Rav. However, says the real suffix of the Gemara is whether this is a pagam and a mekach tos. Here, one second. Yeah. Harav Mori Deru, Af She Mamar Leveloshim Tznai Hi Asheela. Even if there was a Tznai, this is what the Magen Avraham is saying there is, right? The Lolin Yenat Tashlumin, the Vaday Pashat Ushatarach Leshalim Oskar Abedika, Hasheela Yikim Shu Inyan Shal Mitzvah. The Shakam Tari is only about Bitol HaMekach. So, what would be a basis for seeing the lack of Bedika as a Mum and a Pagam, not just a Tanai or an added expenditure, you know, that would torpedo the Mekach? But if you see Bedika Schametz purely in terms of the Be'en, and as a mitzvah, whether Daraisa Rabbana, and it could be Mechalek, as a mitzvah, but as a mitzvah focused on the status of the Be'en, so the whole sugya is very strange. Unless you interpret the way some of the other Rishonim and Poskim are interpreting. The Mekor Chayim, I think, comes the closest to, I think Rabbeinu David and the Rishonim is hinting at it. Magen Avraham is raising the problem. The Kor Chayim, for technical reasons, actually has a, you know, comes close to this idea. He says, L'fizel adas acherim shehevi aram, shu das harav, there's no such thing by mezuzah, in shim chiyuv al hamaskir, lamatzi tavile, rak mikoch mashe ta'ohu, the Shemach. Wow. Then he says, "Ain Magen Avraham Sifkat Zayin." The Lefisa B'Maskev Yudim. Sorry, Rambam Shubah V'Gamke Ein Tzarich L'Hachsela. Then in the next thing he says, that's the background. Ayin Bagan Rav Sivka Izayin, Shehit Shebichon Shemishpat Simin Reish Lamed Beis, etc. The theories. It says, V'koshol, the Mavur Shama B'feirosh, the Kosa Shama Agar, I don't know if you have a... Oh, Bar Ilan has Mekor Chayim? Oh, good for them. Okay. Mashma de Kesheino B'guf HaBayis, right, Afilo Omar, Ein Mevatol HaMekach. Meaning it's not true what the Magen Avraham says, that with a T'nai, you can be Mevatol HaMekach, you know, etc. Doesn't sound that way in Chol Shemishpa. V'chein Buchach Beit Zedav Zayin, Gabi Uvda, you know, etc. V'yoi Dina, V'lofi Ani Azdai Ki Bikor Lekash Amidi. The Shom Gam came in a Mekach Kayim. Rak Kishachazi La'osa Malacha, Shasachar B'shvila, B'lishum Totsah. His new Hagdara is, if you acquire something that you can't use for the purpose that you acquired it, then that isn't just an unacceptable expenditure that can torpedo a sale. This is an expansion, at least as I think he's saying, of what? Of what constitutes a pagam or a cheftza problem. If your acquisition is no longer worthy or rotten, right, conducive to the reason that you acquired it, then that expands chefza shel mekaftos. Okay, one more time. Ein her mekach kayim, ra kishechazi l'osa malacha shasachar b'shvila b'lishum hotzah. U'mishum hachi b'didon didon, kiv d'tam d'asokar tzorch b'dika kotzav aran. This is already the more technical part of applying it. That what? That asoka l'osagi b'lo dika d'afi l'chamit shal nachri osa lo b'chitza. Him kein kishali yichusu, right? So he can't be talk about Abed Yisura. Because she nixes the darba talk about Abed Yisura, darbo, me Yisur, me kshash dum asu le michle. Bahare eno roi le dira, kos man, shena motzi, ala hotzos. Bahare katos, beguf ha mechach. Mishimok yitzark the tam, de nichle. Fascinating Makor Chaim. He says, based on the Ran's understanding of the Gemara later on, that you really can't live in the home in the state of it being enobotic, or when there's chametz there. Since you can't live there because of this kashash of Shema Yochal, etc., so even though it looks like, oh, the problem on the table is an economic, an unwanted, unacceptable economic expenditure. They may have to go, you know, hire, you know, the Bedikas Chametz firm from Borough Park, you know, same ones who also do your car, by the way, you know, for like $200, you know, before Pesach. You know, you have to hire them out, and it's very expensive. Says in Makor Chaim, no. This expenditure is a shiur in bias shena roi ladira, lagabe Pesach. But what I like to suggest is a much simpler idea, and that is, if the idea of Bedikas Chametz includes, especially if the dominant idea is that you need a biased baduk, you need to certify the place as baduk, you need to transform it into baduk, so then the suffix of the Gemara is perfect. The Gemara is basically either that's the suffix, or this question is whether that itself isn't the same idea behind the question of the Magen Avraham and behind the answer of the Makor Chaim, and I think that's what Beinu David is hinting at as well. Meaning, if you're not focused on the be'en, right, and the chiyuvim and the expenditures and the consequences, but on the cheftza, basically, I rented a bias baduk. And now you're giving me a bias sheino baduk? And since the Rishonim discussed whether there's a difference between Yud Gimel and Yud Aleph, this is now a new way to look at that as well. I'm not saying that's what they had in mind. Mostly what they had in mind was, well, if it's yadalid and it's a clear economic obligation, you know, al pi din, not just because of the expectation or even the tnai, you know, then odoter, there's reason, you know, to be, you know, to have consequences. Right? It sounds like Tosus thinks that that would certainly make a mekhtos. Is that because you're simply expanding the hagdara of mekhtos to include, again, either in a very, you know, clear economic expenditure? Maybe. But another way to say it would be that there's a difference between a schiras that takes place lifnei shloshim yom, or maybe lifnei rosh chodesh, or maybe lifnei yadalah, right, as opposed to yadalah. Because the whole chalos of a bayis baduk as a chepza and as a basis for mekachtos maybe only exists in that context. Okay? So that is kind of the connection between those things. Now let's circle back just a little bit. Yeah.
If the chalos of a bayis baduk is only possible, let's say, on
yadalah, yeah,
is it ever possible that you could do preemptive bidikas or beers, like in Daito Lafs or Afilim Rosh Hashanah, you could create that status.
Right. So that, again, you know, I think that's a good question. Maybe it's only natural on your Dalit, but you can artificially create it with the Kavana, especially if there's no... So that becomes Mitsura to your... If the only way that you can prepare for, you know, Pesach, Midas, is, you know, to take steps so much in advance, that maybe is mitzarev, or that makes it a chalos shein baduk, that I would say, number one. I think it's a great question, by the way, but I think that's number one. Number two is, it could be that shein bias baduk still only kicks in on Yom Yadalid, but it kicks in on Yom Yadalid by virtue of the action that you took place because of what I just said earlier. And therefore, we should look in that sugya, which we'll get to, for echoes of that being a problem. Whereas, if you look at it pragmatically, in terms of the end of chametz, and especially if you think that chametz exists all year round vis-a-vis all of this, even naturally, then you would take a whole different approach to it. But that's an absolutely correct question, but those are the two elements that I think. Yeah. Going back to?
Is Hazik Isura. So just to clarify, what's compelling us to say that what's compelling us to say something different than just that it's about the end? Yeah, saying something different than that it's about the band. I mean, what's wrong with just saying that you have a Hazik Isura for the band? What's wrong with saying that you have a...
What I'm saying is, with regard to the band, do you, maybe then you really need to know that there was a band of chametz there. You know? And maybe you don't know that. Or especially if there's a bedika and then there's a safek, whether there's no bedika or something like that. What I'm saying is, you're just going to look at this question in a different way. If you're talking about, oh, the hichnisubal chametz, or lo hichnisubal chametz, maybe that's, why is that any different than treifa? Right? But if the point is that it's not about, you didn't do a bedika, and now the question is, or the specific way you did a bedika, but the default is that the bias is a baduk. The default in the home is not necessarily that there's chametz there. Unless we're going to say, because there's a ruba dolesa kamon, practically a vada, you're using chametz all year round. I'm just saying it's a totally different way of looking at the problems. Okay? Good. So now let's go back to the tzarech avara part of it. Yeah, Nathan, go ahead.
Just to clarify.
How come, wait a minute, hold on 1 second. Usually we hear you louder. You guys can't hear him, right?
Is the bio on your computer on?
Oh, wait a minute. How's that working?
That's like a computer. Is the bio on your laptop?
Oh, I should make the volume louder. That's what you're saying. Hold on 1 second. Ah, I'm becoming so proficient. It's scary. Hold on 1 second. Now, if you're in the middle of this, how do you make your volume higher? I'm going to figure, oh, I know how to do that. Hold on 1 second. Okay, Nathan, do it again.
Better now?
Much better.
Okay. Yeah, just to clarify, when we're talking about the idea of the need for bias baduk, and this might relate to the previous Shachwit Tarya, but how much of that is a din in just like whatever the chalus bias is in terms of whatever, maybe the shear is the same as bias lagabi mezuzah or other things or, mm-hmm. or maka, or how much does it have to do with the bias that you're going to be in on Pesach? Like, is it just any house you own needs to be baduk? Is it?
I think it's a good question. We'll see. I don't think it's a din bias. It's not like near Hanukkah where there might be a din bias, actually. But I do think it's a din makom. But you know, what constitutes your makom that you're responsible for, as opposed to a place where you're going to happen to be, and whether there are differences in bedikas chametz with regard to that, we'll talk about it. That is a good question. But I don't think it's a din like makom, a bias gabe mezuzah. I think it's a din gvulcha, because the psukim speak about gvulcha, you know, yo lo yira lecha. It also says beis echa.
There's a havim in the Gemara that may be restricted to beis echa, and then there's only a riboy for.
Yeah, exactly. So I think when we get to those Gemaras, we'll see. Obviously, the more we look at this in terms of, again, like Rabbi Shmuel, the things that we've been talking about, namely your association, the fact that you are identified, you know, with chametz, as opposed to some sort of a technical, you know, kinyan, you know, like Exeris HaKasuv, the more understandable distinctions like that are. Like your bias, your gvul, may have a formal, titular meaning, you know, not just, but again, it could go in either direction, but the point is we're looking at it in terms of how people connect you to the chametz. And I think that explains a lot in some of those havaminas and even in some of the echoes in the actual dinim. But we'll get that when we go to those gemaras on Bav and so on. Okay? Good. Yeah?
Just to clarify the last point that Rabbi was making.
Yeah.
Are we saying the machlokes, yudimel versus yudalid, is whether or not there is a text of a bias baduk on yudimel or even on yudalid itself?
What I'm saying is that in the Rishonim debate whether the discussion, that's the whole discussion of Tosas and the other Rishonim, whether the issue of, Mekachtos, you know, is more or less obvious on Yom Yadav. Okay? So what I'm saying is that the more we look at the Din of Bedikas Chametz in terms of the Be'en, for whatever reason, that distinction between Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet is not so compelling, except to the extent that we're dealing with the financial obligation that is more obvious of the maskil. And then you can weigh whether or not the tnai, or even the expectation, you know, is so different from the actual chiyuv mamon involved. However, if we're dealing with really a pagam and the cheftza, like I sold you, you know, a donkey and I gave you a cow, you know, that kind of mekaktos, that's a very extreme one. You know, I sold you a house and I gave you an animal, that's, I guess, even more extreme. But the point is, I switched and baited on you. That's what mekaktos is. Not how much of a disappointment, you know, how much of a discrepancy between my expectation or our contract and the details are. But really a difference in the identity of the chafza, if that's what we're talking about, so then I'm suggesting that that would be a further reason, maybe even a stronger reason, to distinguish between your gimel and your dalin. Because your dalin, where there's a chiyuv, where there's a chalos, a bais baduk, you know, is more, this idea would be more pronounced than your gimel. But if you're doing a, just like Nathan was asking, you know, within Shloshim Yom, even Lifnei Shloshim Yom, you know, from Rosh Hashanah, if you know you're not going to be there, I mean, there are indications that there's a din of bedikas chametz well in advance. I was trying to address that and explain it. So that's certainly true on Yud Gimel, or Yud Beis, you know, or Likrat, when it's already, you're doing this so that when the Leil Yudalad rolls around, it'll be already Shomer. So I'm not dismissing the possibility. In a way, by the way, this could go back to the discussion of the language of the Yerushalmi. Like when the Yerushalmi was explaining in the context of its two Dorais and Makoros, Bedikas Chametz, the next thing it asked was, what about Yud Gimel? And then that came, after that came, and what about Rosh Chodesh? Again, it's hard to know how to read the Yerushalmi, as we already discussed, Makokas or Rishonim, whether it's rhetorical or it's serious. But I would say that, you know, in terms of the shame baduk, in terms of the chiyuv bedika, but even more so in terms of the shame baduk, you know, drawing those lines are important. That answer? Okay. Good. So now let's go back to the Efshelavarer, Tzarech Lavarer part of the sugya, because we haven't addressed that fully yet, although, again, what I'm about to say is not fundamentally, at least in approach, is certainly not going to be any different from the people who heard this discussion last year. So, So what do we have in terms of the sugya so far? So I just tried to explain the last, whatever it was, 45 minutes, hour, whatever it was, the bedika part of it, in terms of the end, Bais Baduk, the connection between the Gemara and Dalet Amud Beis, and even some of the Lashayli questions, the Bach and the Beis Yosef, part of it. Bach, Beis Yosef, the Skazik Yisura question, Magen Avraham Rama, and some other questions. But now let's go back to the Lashayli itself. So the background of the Lashayli itself, just to remind us one more time, Avi Roth?
Yep.
Just remind, just get us back to where on the Lashayli part. Efshel Levar, Tzarech Levar. So what do we have again, just to remind us the shitas that we've seen? From previous year.
So, the Rif didn't really mention much about this.
Well, they have the Gemara. The Gemara sounds... What's the issue of the Gemara?
So the Gemara himself then sounds like that if you can't ask him, you do have to ask him. It sounds like the...
Sounds like Efshel Levar, Tzarech Levar. And again, this is one of the Makoros that is quoted by... I think the first person to quote it, as far as I know in the discussion, is the Ramban. I could be wrong. The Ramban in Chulin, Mechamos, quotes this Gemara. Right? And the Rif, well, again, I mean, in that broader discussion, put it this way. Tosus already here makes the Ha'ara. The Ran here is quoting the Ramban, really, in Chulin. The Ritva here, of course, is also making reference to that discussion and debate. This Gemara seems to be a Gemara that speaks about this problem and that requires Efshel Levar, Tzarech Levar. That seems to be Pashas of the Gemara. Then we pointed out that there's a way out of that. That was the Bach's Ha'ara. Avi, that what?
It's not that if you can be Levar, you have to do it. It's just why bother asking the question of Chazkas Levar or not if you can be Levar.
Correct, exactly. So the Bach, and I do think that is a very legitimate way to read the Gemara. The Gemara is saying, like, who cares? You know, either way, from a practical point of view, you know, we don't need to rely on Chazaka. We can always ask the guy. But that doesn't necessarily mean that once we know, if we do know, that it's Becheskes Baduk, that you still need to ask the guy. Right? So that's the Bach Sa'ara. That it's not Mukhrach from here. It's interesting that the other Rishonim, including the Ritva, even the Ritva, thought that it was Mukhrach from here, especially since it doesn't play in to his general view. Correct? Okay. So, what is the Ritva's view?
Ritva thinks that there are different gradations of Chazaka
right.
For when we have to ask for that.
Okay. So let's talk about that for a minute. In other words, the Ritva is basically saying, let me go take a step back. The Bach is saying, this Gemara doesn't prove anything. You know, but if you hold like the Bach, by the way, you could say that the Gemara's conclusion does not support the Lashayla. Right? I'll put it this way. The Bach's view is confirmed by the Rambam. Right? The Rambam here seems to think that there's no Lashayla. He doesn't mention it. And according to one Girsa, he explicitly rejects it. Right? On the other hand, there are those, the Ran, the Beis Yosef say, following the Ram, who quote the Rambam as agreeing that this Gemara supports his general view. But Bepashtus, the Rambam and the Ritva are both out of sync. In other words, the Rambam holds that generally Afshel Levara Tzarech Levara, but it seems like not here. The Ritva holds generally Afshel Levara Ein Tzarech Levara, and yet he thinks that here you need to Tibbe Levara. So I want to discuss those two perspectives for the moment. So there can be two, I think, approaches to the discrepancies. Yeah.
Is there also something to say about like the Ritz omission in light of the Ram?
Say that again?
Is there just something to say about the Ritz omission over here in light of the Ram?
I don't know. Again, it's a Shaka Vataria the Gemara. The Ritz doesn't say anything about Cheskas Badok.
Right, but that you could explain away with the Gemara Kalavra, I mean, like you mentioned last year. But like the Ram saying, it gives the Ritz Vataria.
He may just assume that you're just plugging it in. I mean, as I say, it's always more difficult to interpret silence. Sometimes silence is deafening, and sometimes silence is, you know, because, you know, the assumption is that it's obvious. So I don't know. I think there's too many questions in there. It doesn't bother me so much. I don't think we need to work so hard on it, because we have the Rambam and we have the Ritva. So we already have it, we have discrepancies already. So I'm okay without the Rif. I hear it, but I just don't know. There's just too much that's unknown. Okay. So one way to approach the discrepancies is to plug them in to the universal, you know, principle. And certainly it sounds that way here in the Ritva. The Ritva says, love, kol ha-chazokos, shavos. Right? And the question is, what does that mean? So what does it mean generally, Binyamin? Or what does it mean here? How would you approach the Ritva? Now, what I'm trying to say is, the two approaches are either to see this within the spectrum of the bigger question, right? Whether Efshel Levara, Tzarech Levara, or to see it more as an exception which is based on the specific character and nature of the exception itself. Meaning Bedikas Chametz. The Ritva does not get an impression that this is a din Bedikas Chametz. One could have said, if Bedikas Chametz nitken ala safek, or if there's a din of Shmira, right? If there's a, you know, chiyuv to certify something as a bias baduk, you know, and that has a whole different dimension than just trying to figure out whether it's likely that this chametz is still chametz here or not, then, you know, then that's not going to apply to the regular dinim. Right? End of story. And I think that makes a lot of sense. That's one way to explain the Ritva. Not to explain the Ritva, the conclusion of the Ritva, not the explanation of the Ritva. Another way, the second way, would be to say that maybe what's singular about Bedika is not its specific character, but the fact that it's Drabanan. Right? If you assume that even though Efshel Levara and Tzarech Levara is true, but that's when it comes to a question of Birurim. In other words, you have mechanisms that resolve Sfeikos. Right? We rely upon them. Again, the Ritva's language. Do we have the language of the Ritva in Chulin by chance? It's just such a strong formulation. There. Have you been on it?
Yeah. Our baby Mori Har Azal Notel with every Kitasa Forzal, the Afusia Eno Mokte, Lokai Shin and Balaki Lake of the Isa Kaman, the Kiva the Rome Mitsu until Shin the Mokte, with the Torah who the Lakas Akar Haro, Alpin Lakas.
Oh, so what's a key line? The din Torah hulalecha sachra rov afilu lechatchila. I mean, don't shy away from relying on chazakas. That's the problem. In other words, we're not sure if that's what the ra'ah means. Right? Again, you have the balamor, you have the ra'ah, you have the ritva. The language of the ra'ah in Betekabayis and Chulin is, we said it the other day, you remember it. The what? Kol mitzui neitzo shchita mumkanei. Which certainly is not statistically accurate, nor was it meant to be. But that's a certain perspective also. Again, according to Beis Halevi, it means that here we have something else. We have Eidecha Nema Bisurim, bolstering. There's an implicit birur. Another way could be to explain that the Ra'ah thinks that this is a stronger rope. But what's so important about the Ritva, and he's not saying either of those things. The Ritva saying is, you're right, this is a halachic mechanism to solve problems, right? But that doesn't mean we have to be reticent about it. Even b'makom she'in v'adai, right? L'chatchila, you can rely, hemina Torah, b'rov. Rov is a matir, maybe even. We'll get to that in a second. So then, when the Ritva here says, Ein kol hachazakos shavos, it's a little more eyebrow raising. So that's why it would have been better to say, no, this is a din in bedikas chametz, for the reasons that we just discussed. Or to say that when you have birurim of the Torah, excuse me, oh, I should drink something. When you have a birur, 1 second. When you have a logical foundation for your conclusion, part of what the Din Torah provides, a mechanism to be mevarer. So then there's no reason to shy away. But let's say you have a situation where the Torah provides a mechanism, right? But it's not a birur at all. There's no objective foundation to thinking that you likely are avoiding the problem. Will you still say efshel avarer ain't tzorach avarer? Will you still rely on that? What do I mean? Sveka drabanan lekula. I'm not saying this for the Ritva himself. I'm talking about there being three approaches, let's say, for the Ritva Udi'ime. Okay? The first approach being Bedikas Chametz, for the reasons that we discussed. I don't think he's saying it. Second approach is the approach of Sveka drabanan lekula being different than Rover Chazak. Or Svek Sveka, for that matter. That is the issue, you know, that interestingly comes up in two ways. Number one, the Rishonim here who think that the Sabayad lo yifshita on a Daraisa level, but that since it's a Din Rabbanan, when there's Bittul, in that situation, you'll rely on the Chazaka. Now, it doesn't sound like they're also saying, you know, and that's the reason for Lashayle. But they could have. They're just trying to explain why there's a chazaka when the Gemara is not poshe. But once the reason that you're poshe is only on a drabana level, that might be further reason to explain why the Gemara says Belashaila. It says Belashaila here because it's based on the whole thing is the whole reliance on the Chazaka is based on Sveka Drabanan Lekula. But if it was based on a Chazaka Doraisa or a Rove Doraisa, then there would be no requirement of the shaliach. Okay, the Ritva doesn't say this at all. I'm suggesting it. Now the Maram Chalava explicitly discusses this part of the problem and says, and by the way, just because Bidikas Kometz Lakula, right, that has zero impact on the question of Lashayla. Okay. So that's a second avenue and possibly a Machlokas. We'll explain more in a minute. The third avenue is that even the Ritva here, even in Chazakos and Robes, is acknowledging that the principle that he enunciates or articulates in Chulin, right, is a little bit more open to distinction. And this goes to the heart of the issue itself. Efshelabar Tzorach Labar. Because on the one hand, the Ritva articulated it's a Din Torah. The question is the Din Torah Lechatchila or B'diyan? And in that Gufa, it's possible to be Mechalik, now to use the language of the Ritva, Bein Chazaka Lechazaka. So I like to suggest that there are three, let's say, types that we're dealing with. The Rav Zichron Lebracha used to speak about this question a lot. He always equated, you know, two of the three with each other. We always talk about whether or not a chazaka or rove is mevarer or makriya, a very big suffek implicit in the Rishonim, excuse me, in the Rishonim and explicit in the Acharonim, as being equivalent to whether there is or is not, in the aftermath of the chazaka or the rov, a leidas hasafek. In other words, there are certain situations, there are certain sfeikos that are very remote. There are remote sfeikos based on the likelihood of occurrence, in other words, from a pragmatic point of view, right? I mean, if a very, very low percentage, if you have 97%, right, there's still, you know, a possibility. But we usually discount, we don't register those kind of possibilities. If something is 94.5% effective, right, that's very impressive. That's very hopeful. Because it's not just, oh, you know, there's only going to be likely 5.5%, you know, who are unprotected. It's more than that. The idea is that everybody who is subject to those kind of probability numbers, you know, basically there's no latest a suffix that he's not going to be helped. Even though we know in the aggregate of the population that there are exceptions, that it isn't infallible, it's not perfect, it's not 100%. Right? By that we mean that the suffix is small enough, right, in the numbers, right, that it is discounted on an individual level, even though it is a small population on the collective level. Everybody with me? When a person crosses the street, right, there's always a remote chance, you know, that some terrible accident could take place, which is why it's good to be cautious and careful, right? But typically, you don't like weigh your chances, you know, when you cross the street. People don't think that way. And mostly they don't need to think that way. There's no leidas hasafek. Of course, if something happens, you know, we'll have reconstructed and said, well, you know, that was always possible. There was no light. You know, it was a dark and rainy day. You know, and then the person ended up and he, you know, hurt his ankle. We don't want anything too terrible to happen to this fictional person. Right? But when he's crossing the street, Meirosh, we don't say to him, well, I mean, some parents do, or grandparents, but, you know, briskers do. It's like, you know, be careful, you know, not to twist your ankle when you cross the street. Okay? Because we discount that. There's no leda sasad. So, in my opinion, really there are three levels. One is lack of leda sasafek. And by the way, lack of leda sasafek can be a result either of the numbers, how remote is the danger, what is the threshold where we weigh something and worry about it on an individual level, right, as opposed to, again, looking at the statistics of the population in a broader way and knowing, you know, that there's always a remote chance. There's another way in which there can be no leda sasafek, and that is certain types of stakos, because they are contrary to our sensibilities. I don't mean psychologically, I mean, you know, humanly, or in some cases, halachically. So it could be that from a percentage point of view, you know, something could register, but for halachic reasons, we don't consider it, you know, it doesn't register as a suffix for various reasons. Okay? This is a part of the discussion, which we'll get to in a second, very quickly, of sexake. Like, let's say you have a sexake, right? So let's say a typical sexake, if it's two suffix shekels, would be 75-25. But let's say I told you that the threshold in terms of, let's say, probability was 10%. I'm not saying that it is. Some posts can think it is. But, or let me get back to the numbers themselves. The Ramban in Melchamos and Chulin himself suggests that there is an exception to the rule of Evshel Var Tzorech Lavar. Just like the Ritva admits, saying Kol HaChazakos Shavos in one direction, namely he, from the Balamor Ritva perspective, admits that some cases Tzorech Lavar, so too the Ramban, right, who holds the antithetical view, like the Ritva and the Ramban in Bali Tosis, Evshel Var Tzorech Lavar, he holds that there are some exceptions. What is the exception? What he calls a miut she'ino motzui. Miut she'ino motzui means it doesn't register. There's no leda sasafek. Right? It's less than a certain percentage. She'ino motzui. But let's say I told you that sexteka might be a miut amotzui on a pure probability mathematical level. Right? Or, let's say in weighing the status of sveksveka, we acknowledge that not all sveksvekas are two sveksveka shuffles, 75-25. Some sveksvekas are a little imbalanced. That's a question in Hukos sveksveka. If I were to tell you that some people think you can have a sveksveka, you know, as long as, you know, there's more than rove in the aggregate, right? And therefore, it doesn't have to be even 75. It could be 60-40. Right? It could be 55-45. Maybe. That's a question. Right? So, would we still be able to... How would we look at that? So that's a situation where the fact that you need the confluence of two sekos, right? Even though, again, the probability, you know, is not so remote at all. From a pure probability point of view, it's miut amotzui. It's miut amotzui. But maybe the fact, right, that you need the confluence of two negative outcomes to two different questions, assuming that they are two, and also that you can still put them together, they're not one and one, also an issue with sexteka, then it could be that for halachic reasons we don't consider this alpidin to be a Safek. Or, what we sometimes find, according to some Rishonim in Stakos, and that is that we define the Safek, we define whether something is one Safek or two Stakos, in a formalistic way. Like we say about two Stakos, Kula Chada Stakos. Or Kshem Echad. Right? Pitui Ktana Ones and Ones, they say, oh, it's all one Shem Echad. Saying that something is one Shem Echad or not has zero impact on probability. Right? It's a purely formalistic step. And yet, according to some Rishonim, it's an important step. So what I'm trying to say is one category is there's no latest a Safek, but there can be two scenarios. One is mathematical, and then the question is what the threshold is. The other is amount of steps, a kind of formalistic, halachic category or consideration or factor that looks at, you know, how you look at the problem, etc. Okay? Then, that's one extreme. The other extreme is where we really have no confidence, or we have no right to have confidence, that we are resolving anything. Now, when there's no latest a safek, especially when it's, you know, the more obvious case, the remote, you know, probability issues, again, typically we think that, you know, if we see somebody on one side of the street, that we can predict that he'll get to the other side of the street with confidence. We don't think we're just projecting based on the, you know, larger statistical evidence. It's just not the way our minds work. I would say it's not the way our minds are supposed to work. But there are other cases of Rover Chazaka where maybe we have zero confidence in the individual case, but we kind of throw it only to the population. The other way, the opposite way. Since, okay, the bigger picture, you have a rover, you have a chazaka, even though we are not confident about the particular reconstruction of events, nonetheless, al pidin, we have a right to be machriya. We'll call it that. Right? That's called a hakra. Meaning, the Torah has decided that under these conditions, you're allowed to do this. It's a kind of a matir. A kind of way to move forward and not to be paralyzed. And even though you're not, you remain kind of the safek on the individual level, this safek has been matired because of a rov, a chazaka, or something else. Mashal ma'adavar domeh. Let's say you have, you know, Safek Tuma Bershus Harabin, which is Tahar, Safek Tuma Bershus Hayachad, which is Tameh. Obviously, the numbers have nothing whatsoever to do with that. Right? We're talking about Safek Ashoko. Or, Sveka Drabanan Lakula. Right, which is exactly what it says, a safek derabanan. Right? It's the content, not the safek, which is at all relevant to this issue. So again, you might say kai gavna lo tiknu. That's a possibility. You know, so then it's a vadai. But if you don't say kai gavna lo tiknu, or even if you want to say it, the point is that you have no confidence. This 50-50 safek in these cases, there's no reason to think that you've been mavar or anything. What you have is halacha has allowed you to be machriya. And in between those two, in my opinion, there comes something else. And that is a situation where there is a safek initially, you know, and even as you're working to be mavar of the safek, right? It doesn't eliminate the safek, but we also don't think that on an individual resolution level that our resolution is arbitrary and just based on din Torah, a matir. of some sort. We think that we're using the aggregate, the bigger picture, right, to resolve this case, or the likely resolution of this case, right? Even though we still know that there's a suffix. But this is birur ha-suffix. The Rav, as I say, equated the varer versus machria to yesh leinus ha-suffix and ein leinus ha-suffix. I think that there is room for three levels. Ein leinus ha-suffix, birur ha-suffix, which doesn't complete, which solves the, or reconstructs, allows us to have confidence, certainly that we're not being arbitrary, maybe that we're resolving the suffix, but with the back of our minds, right, this was initiated by suffix and there remains some level of suffix, and hakra. So with regard to these questions, now we look at F shalavar or tzarech lavar, and the comment of the Ritva, which is in Chul, which is you could rely on a Rav even lechatchila. Can you? Right? On the other hand, the Ramban and the Rajba, when they talk about this issue, seem very emphatic. They think even Misvara doesn't make sense to say Efshalavar Tzarech Lavar. Because you can get a Din Vava. And there's always a suffix. The answer is, if there's a situation where there's no leinus ha-safek at all, then probably you would say hef shelavar, ein tzarech lavar. If there's a hakra in which you haven't resolved anything, right, then you would be more inclined to saying hef shelavar, ein tzarech lavar. You might even go so far as to say, there's a line of Pnei Yeshua in a bunch of places, and I think implicit in others, including maybe the Ra's analysis and Torah Sabayis, that b'makom she'ef shalavar, in some cases, maybe it's not even a suffix. The din that you could be machriya is assuming that you have the situation of suffix. But maybe b'makom she'ef shalavar, in certain cases, depends on how efshar, how easy, in what way is that going to be mavarer. Maybe that's not al pi din. You have no right to invoke chazaka or rov, or sveika lekula, or sveika lechomra, as the case may be, because al pidin, it's not as kol davar she'ef omed lebiror, you know, it's a kind of mechusar maisa, maybe that isn't even a al pidin suffix. So these are the things that need to be weighed. So in light of that, so of course we understand the Ramban's chiluk between mira matzur, but now maybe we can also understand the Ritva. Even if he isn't differing from what he said in Chul, the lechatchila reliance on Rov and Chazaka is certainly when there's no leinus ha-safek, but maybe even when it's mevarer. But in a situation where it's machria, maybe not. In kol ha-chazaka shavos. Now it's fascinating, in light of this, to think about, of course, Svek Sveika and Safik Drabanu Lepula. But then also to think about the Beis Yosef and the Bach. So again, Safik Drabanu Lepula, the Maran Chalava says here clearly, Efshelavar Tzarech Lavar. But I'd say you could have argued, because that's certainly a Hachra, not a Birur, never mind lack of latest of Safik. And indeed, there are healthy, Maram Kalava weighs in here, but there are healthy discussions about that question. Right? Mashal ma davar dovna. Davar she'esh lo matirin. Right? We have a principle of davar she'esh lo matirin. Afilu be'alef lo batel. Right? We talked about it earlier in the year with regard to chametz. So, according to Rashi, itoshi achlenu, right, the Isser Tochlenu Beheter. What's the idea behind it? Similar idea. It's not exactly Efshel Levar Tzarech Levar, but it's Efshel Lechakot, right? Efshar, you know, Lo Lismoch Al, you know, Pitaron HaSafek, and you'll get a Vadai with a little bit of patience. Which is why, by the way, including some of the Rishonim al Atar here in Pesachim and Daf Lamed, as well as on Daf Beis, but especially in Daf Lamed, like what if you have to wait? what if waiting, you know, degrades the quality of the food, right? Or how much, you know, tircha, how much of a concession should be included, you know, in under the rubric of Davar Sheish L'Matir. Okay? How urgent, in other words, is an immediate resolution? In a way, it's a little bit connected to the, you know, Mordechai discussion and so on about, you know, Isizma. Like, if this is an absolute resolution, then maybe I don't have to wait for it either. Because it's only a temporary resolution. In addition to the other things we talked about. Either way, it's fascinating that the Gemara's din of Davar Sheish L'Matir and Achilu B'Elef L'Batel is about Rov. Excuse me. It's about Rov. It's a Tarovas. Right? A Beitza, you know, a Tevel, you know, Muktza, something falls into a Tarovas. And there's Bitl Barov. See, I feel the Be'elef Labat. Actually, it's a little striking because I feel the Be'elef, that's more than a meal Shena Matzah. The question is whether Davar Sheish L'Matir is a parallel to Efshel Levar Tzarek Levarer, but it's certainly not identical. That I'll get to in just a second. But what's also fascinating is that what about Sveika Darbana Makula? And what about Svek Sveika? These massive topics. So Sveika Darbana Makula is actually a view in the Gemara in Beitza on Dalet Amud Aleph. Ravashi says the din of Davar Sheish L'Matir applies also to Sveika Darbana Makula. But it's not so obvious that that is the case at all. For example, the Ram in the Darim, whose Shita we mentioned earlier in the year, right, which is that the reason Davar Sheish L'Matir and Afilu B'Elef L'Batel is because it's a kind of min b'mino and min b'mino ain't a batel, certainly would have difficulty with Ravashi in the Gemara Beitza. What does it have to do with Sapek Drabana Lakula? If you hold Mitoshi Ochlen, well, why are you relying on a din that Sapek is Lakula when you can just wait till tomorrow, have a little patience, and make sure you're not eating Bavadai? If you look at some of the Mefarshim in Beitza on Ravashi, the Shidikubensis there, I think Maria Buav, I said, oh, maybe the din of, you know, if the din of Sapek Drabana Lakula was Kahai Gamna Lo Tiknu, which is a suggestion of the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos. He talks about the status of Drabanas. He rejects it. The Chidush Aran in Sanhedrin also, the Sugya of Zaki Mamre, suggests it. But a lot of Achronim liked it, that suggestion of Kahai Gamna Lo Tiknu. So then why should you wait? Why is that Davar Sheish L'Matir? It's Mutar Bevada. Unless, again, you want to say, well, it's not really a suffix, because it's omid lebirur, or it's omid lepitaron, not lebirur, right? Beka. So this is an interesting question, lahalacha, whether Davar Sheish L'Matir applies to drabanans or not. It seems to be 2 days in the Gemara, achlokes, and a discussion, lahalacha. So it's fascinating that we have the parallel discussion about Efshel Levarer, Tzorech Levarer, in Sveika Darbana Lakula. Similarly, with regard to the question of Davar Sheish L'Matir, there's a huge debate among the Rishonim regarding Svek Sveika. The Ran in Beitza quotes Tudeos, the Rajvan Beitza, and in Taras Abayas, and in his Tshuvas, argues that Davar Sheish L'Matir applies the spec snake. That's his argument. And others seem to disagree, or are misdoubting. Right? Now again, if you say that it's midin rov, svek svek, there are basically three views about svek svek. I don't want to go heavily into svek svek right now. But it's well known. There are basically, you know, three perspectives with a lot of nuances. You know, people think that the Rajva and the famous Tshuva, or the Tzim and the Tavav, the Pnei Yeshua made it famous, and then the Shev Shmaitza made it even more famous. So, in that Tshuva, the Rajva discusses the status of Svek Tzveka b'mokom eschazek isura. And our next topic, very quickly, we'll discuss a little about Erechad, Nehman b'isura, b'mokom eschazek isura. So the Rajva says in that Tshuva, this is question. He was asked, you know, what is the status of Svek Tzveka b'mokom eschazek isura? Background being, I think it's tough on. Background being that when it comes to Rove, the rule is it tough on? Oh, I'm sorry, not tough on. Good. Did you know it was tough on? Or you just looked at tough on and then you went backwards?
We saw
it
last year.
Oh, okay. Good. So basically, the suffix is, right, Svek Tzveka. Do you say for Mokom Eschazek Isura? And it's set up beautifully in the Rajba. He says, after all, when it comes to Rove, Im Tovar Mutar Manasu, after all, he says, Sveikad Rabbanan, Hekin Eschazek Isura, Zinon Chomra. Right? On the other hand, Rove, we say Ruba V'Chazaka, Ruba Adif. So if Rove overcomes the Chazaka, Svek Rabbanu Lekula does not overcome a chazaka. What do you think about Svek Svek? So the Rajva says what, Binyamin?
Yes, I like the effect of like Svek Svek is lo gara mirov.
He says Svek Svek lo gara mirov. The Pnei Yeshua in Ksuvus and Daftes, and again, the Ksos all over the place, understood the Rajva to be saying that a Svek Svek is a rov. Because it's, you know, 50-50, 50-50, or something like that. So it's what I call a composite rove. And therefore the conclusion is that we treat it like a rove, Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif, and it overcomes the Eschazek Isura. However, I don't think that's what he meant. And it certainly isn't consistent with what he writes, almost using exactly the same language about Damashesh Lomatirin in Beitza, Gimel Amid Beis, and in Torah Sabayis, and in his Tshuvas. There the Rajba says that Svek Sveka, the din of Damashesh Lomatirin, does not apply. It's different and superior to Rove. And the language is because there's really no suffix in a Svek Sveka. Meaning, to use the Rav's language, which the Rajva practically says, there's no latus a suffix in a Svek Tzveka. And therefore, Svek Tzveka, B'davash Eishlo Matirin, unlike Rove, is Mutter. Aye, now what about the Tshuva? The answer is the Tshuva doesn't say it's Midin Rove. He says it's Logara Mirove. That's true. There's no latus a suffix, and therefore even B'makom Eschazek Isura. So you have three issues, right, that are quite kind of parallel. Dov Shesha Matirin, Keneged Eschazek Isura, like when you have a struggle, you have to override or overcome. And the third one is Efshe Levarer, Tzarech Levar. So with regard to all these things, yeah, somebody ask something?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to the mix. I saw over the summer the Rajba in two places in Eul Trifos, has a different shita. He says there that even when there's a Svek Tzveka, we're going to say Eshelavar Tzarekelavar, and Davar Shesh Lomatirin is going to apply.
He even says Davar Shesh Lomatirin?
Yeah.
OK. Okay, that's very surprising. I don't know, I'd have to look at, where is that?
In the second paragraph full? One of them is Nun Chulin Nun Gimel Mabez, and the other one's in like the late Mems.
Wow. Okay, I'm just saying his, because his very clear, definitive psak in Beitza, but even more importantly in Torah Sabayis, and I believe in his Tshuvas, is that there's no Dovr Shei Shalmatir in Pesvek. It doesn't surprise me about Efshon Levar talk about it, so I'm going to get to it in just a second. But you sure he says it about Dovr Shei Shalmatir in there too?
I'll look back at it. Yeah, but I'm
check
pretty
it again.
Sure he connects the issues.
Okay, wow. I think those
I'll
are,
look.
Yeah, look at it again and let me know. But basically, it goes like this. So, with regard to, again, just to sum up, Dovr Shei Shalmatir nafilu be'elef labata. Sveka derabbanan lepula, machlokas in the Gemara, and machlokas lahala. Do we understand the difference? Of course we do. Right? Again, if you want to say, oh, it's Yesh Shalmatir, we don't consider it a suffix, just wait it out. It's a matter of patience, not a matter of suffix. Okay. But if we're talking about relying, don't rely on a safe kachra, right? If you have, you know, if you can be completely risk averse, that's the issue, then certainly you could be mechalek in either direction between the two. As for spek speka on Dovr Shei Shalmatir, I would say that's a clear machlokas, it's a safek of the Ram. The Rajba in these places that I just mentioned is mechalek between Rov and Svek Sveika. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, there seem to be all sorts of stiras. The poskim debate it. It's a big issue and discussion. On the other hand, when it comes to the Chazak Yisura, that's a second discussion about the relationship of these three. With regard to Svek Sveika, I think I was mentioning before, there are three approaches to understanding why Svek Sveika is Lakula. One is that it's Rov. The other is that it's a kind of Sapek Durabana Lakula. People say this for the Rambam, because the Rambam paskins that Sapek Doraisa Lakumra is usually a Din Durabana. So they think, oh, that's Durabana. And therefore, you have a Svek Sveika, it's like Sapek Durabana. I personally don't think that's a pshat in the Rambam. I don't think when the Rambam quotes Svek Sveika, it sounds like he's saying it's Sveika Durabana Lakula based on his other shita. It sounds like the Rambam thinks it's two Sveikas. That's a category in its own right. Whether it works like the Rajba or not, it sounds like it's a din in Svek Sveika. Lack of Leda Sasafik, some sort. So either Rov, Svek Sveika in its own right, or Sapek Drabana. But when it comes to Efshe Levar Tzorech Levarer, so again, you have this interesting debate. Here too, the poskim seem to debate. And it could be it's Machlokas Rashi Tosis in Ksuvas. What's Machlokas Rashi Tosis in Ksuvas? Abrami?
Whether the Ksuvas exists the Yomar B, we assume that that would apply to all the men or only to Rabbeinu Tam assumes that we both plug it from Bas Cohen to all women. We don't rely on the Avis that we both benefit.
Rashi says that the reason that you should get married on a Wednesday is because there's always a suffix and it's better to get it resolved. You should go to Bez Din, Epshilavara, Tzorach Levar, kind of. There might be other nuances involved in that, but not for now. And Tosis says, what are you talking about? It's a Svek Sveika. Unless we're talking about Chusami Baskim Ulshanim and Eishes Kohen, and then there's only one suffix. Or it's a low plug because of those cases. So what seems to emerge is that Rashi and Tosis in Ksuvas argue whether Efshe Levarer b'makom Svek Sveika, right, Tzorech Levarer, or not. Even though, you know, how does that fit into the, is that exactly the same as the Machlokas Palamar and Ramban, Rajban Ra'ah, etc.? Or is that maybe going to be mechalik? So here, I think I read it the other day, Baram Chalaba says, Rov efshel levarer, tzarech levarer, Tzveka drabanan efshel levarer, tzarech levarer, Svek tzveka efshel levarer, tzarech levarer. But it's not so simple. Okay. So, this is the reason why I like there to be three categories, by the way, because I want to allow for the possibility of distinguishing between, let's say, Dabar Sheish Lo Matirin and Efshel Levar Tzarech Levarer in either direction. Because if you have somebody who thinks that Svek Sveka is different than Dabar Sheish Lo Matirin, but not different than Efshel Levar Tzarech Levarer, that's why I'm saying we have to check that out, or vice versa, so then how will you explain that? But if indeed there are three categories, what you might say, if there's no Leidus HaSafek, then there's no Dabar Sheish Lo Matirin, then there's no Tzarech Levarer, etc. If there's a Hachra, and it remains a complete Safek, there's not even Birur, then you would think, for sure there's a din of Dabar Sheish Lo Matirin, for sure there's a din of Tzarech Levarer. You know? However, what about the middle case, where there is kind of a Safek, but you don't consider your solution to be completely arbitrary, only based on the aggregate. You think that what's likely true for the aggregate is likely the reconstruction of the particular. Meaning, there's Birur, even though there remains, in some respect, the status of, or you don't at least completely preclude the initial status of suffering. So maybe that's where you have a debate and possibility of distinguishing between Dov Sheish Lo Matirin and Efshel Levarer. Also, again, whether Efshel Levarer and Dov Sheish Lo Matirin remove the shame suffering in one case because you can, you know, just wait a day and it resolves itself. In the other case, because you have a way to uncover better information. Either of these, maybe that's also distinguished between the two sevyas. I think you could argue in either way, to be mechalek, whether or not that affects the shame suffek to begin with, or not. So that's in terms of the brach. So when the Ritva says, Ein kol hachazakos shavos, just as when the Ramban is mechalek between different chazakos, it makes a big... It could be understood in this way. And in light of that, the Maran Chalava's automatic assumption that Svek Sveka Rove, Sveka Drabanon Lekula, that all these are the same. What would you say again about Safek Sota Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabin? All of this becomes interesting and open questions. Now, in light of this, just one more second. So let me get back to the Bach and the Beis Yosef. Right? So the Beit Yosef was saying that in his opinion, you know, Efshel Levarer, right, Tzarech Levarer, doesn't apply to Trefa, because the Olam, right, there was never any indication of Muxakus of Yisr, right, or Noda B'Yisr. Masha'en came Shchita and Bedika. And the Bach was saying, I don't understand that distinction, because either Chazaka works or doesn't work. And then he himself says, however, I understand a different distinction, and that is, you know, whether or not the Reyesa, let's say, requires a Kumbase, or there's an automatic Reyesa. So in the end, doesn't it sound like the Bach is saying what the Beis Yosef was saying? Or the difference is a quantitative one. In one case, it's, you know, the presence of a reyesa. In the other case, it's, you know, whether naturally, you know, there's no reyesa and it's always artificial, or whether it's natural. It sounds, so it could be that they're just, first of all, what are these distinctions? The Bach is right. If you're challenging the presence of a chazaka, then even b'makom She'iyav shalavar, you shouldn't rely on it. So clearly what the Beit Yosef was trying to say was, Eim kalachazokos shavos. Except that he draws a line differently than the Ritva. Because he's within the worldview of the Rif and the Rambam and the Ramban and the Rajva. So what he's saying is, you know, there are still, there's something like Trefa, where, you know, we're mistopic whether there's a problem. That's different than Shchita, where the suffix is whether or not, you know, Shchita solved the problem. Or B'dikas Chametz. Now, of course, he's still characterizing B'dikas Chametz as a problem to be solved. Like, does the Beit Yosef know for sure that there was Chametz, you know, in this place? Or certainly after the B'dika, you know? But that goes to the question that we discussed before about B'dikas Chametz. But I think that the Beit Yosef's answer to the Bach is, you don't have to say mimanashach. Either there's a chazaka or there's no chazaka. Because ain't kala chazaka shav. The question is efshavar tzarech levarer. In trefa, even if the percentages of trefa are the same, or maybe even more than the problems of rov mitzvah neitzel shchita mumkanim, in the end of the day, the fact that it's lo nolad, in one case it's, did the solution work? In the other case it's, is there a problem? That dictates formally, if not quantitatively, whether or not there's leidas hasafek, or there's no leidas hasafek. Saying, al pi din, we don't look for trouble, but when we have trouble, and the question is whether we've solved it, then Efshel Levar Tzarek Levar. But B'Bakum She'ein Reyesa Yodua, so Lo Nolad V'Reyesa, why not just, you know, assume that there's no problem? That's what the Beit Yosef had in mind. So now the Bach said, I don't think that's the issue. You know, who cares whether it's, says, no, the issue is, right, is there a Mimela or a Kumbase? What is he? He's just saying it a little bit differently. But he's saying the same thing. He's saying, you know, we don't say Efser Var Tzarek Levarer, you know, the Makom Sheval Tasa. It isn't that different. It is different, technically. But it's not that different. Or, is the Bach saying something more profound? And that is his fault. Like the Prichadash and others, this is already implicit if you look at the Ramban and the whole discussion in Kulin. Is there a difference between Rov and Chazakos? So far we talk about, you know, Rov versus Sekzveka versus Safek Drabanan versus Safek Tuma versus Aram versus Hayachid. Fine. There are other distinctions. Right? First of all, within the world of Rov, there are distinctions between Rubidisa Kama and Rubidalaisa Kama. I still owe that from last year. The Rashi's, you know, on Daf, what is it, Yud Aleph. And which one is stronger? Are they different? Are they the same? Rubidisa Kama and Rubidalaisa Kama. But there are also a more core difference between Chazaka and Rov. Now, in our sugya, what are we talking about? A chazaka or a rov? That's a tricky question. What do you think?
Chazaka.
Chazaka. It's a tricky question. But is it really true? What's the chazaka?
The bias
what?
The bias is checked.
That the bias is checked. How is that, what's the difference between that and a rov? Say again? Yeah, but, I mean, you had a bias, and the question is whether, is the question whether there's chametz in the bias, or is the question whether the maskir, who was obligated to, did the bedika that he was supposed to do? What's the question? Which of those two? Ah, that's a good question, right? Tricky. The pashtos, no, what would you say?
It's like chavrei no minyach migur maya. If you do the maisa.
The pashtos is the focus is on the maisa. Even though the Gemara uses the expression, you know, about chaver, like in Trumas and Maestras, and here, it's a misleading. That's really a rubid leisa. Come on, meaning we want to know did this happen or not. The answer is the probability is that a chaver, you know, does eno motzi mitachas yado, right, davar, or eno meniach tachas yado, davar sheino metuka. That's a Ruben Deleisen come on. And therefore he, in terms of how it's translated, the Alkain, the Stama, the Badak. So even though Gemara calls it a Chazaka, it's really a Rov. But if the question is whether this Chametz in the home or not, or whether or not a Bedika that took place is still valid, that's not a Ruba Deleisen come on. That's a chazaka in the sense of mukzakus, meaning the status quo ante, A-N-T-E, the previous status quo, right, what was the prevailing status quo, is assumed to continue in the absence of evidence to the contrary. That's mukzakus. That's not Rove. So when the Bach says, I don't like the Beis Yosef, I don't get it, either there's a Chazaka or there's no Chazaka, what's this difference between a Chazaka, it's a Chazaka but Tzarech Levar. Right? And then he himself says, oh, I think it's a little different. Right? The issue is, Kum Vasei or Mimela. Instead of seeing it as like a quantified adjustment, he's saying what the Beit Yosef was saying, he's just formulating it a little differently, or maybe drawing the line a little differently. Active, passive, natural, artificial, as opposed to, you know, salt problem, you know, or solution. Beit Yosef is saying it's a problem, no problem. In the other case, it's positive solution. And the Bach is saying, no, passive, active, natural, artificial. But maybe the natural, artificial is actually a way of saying, this isn't a Rove problem, this is a Mukzakos problem. And that becomes really interesting. That's a discussion of Pichadosh and Poskim, many of the Poskim. So again, I think if you look at the Ramban, in Muhammad and Kulin, some of the cases of Chazaka that he quotes when he talks about Epshel Levar Tzarech Levar are really Ruben Deleisa Kamans, like our Gemara. Some of the cases may be Mukzaka's cases. Can you distinguish between, when we talk about Ruben Bechazaka, Ruben Adif, we're talking about Mukzaka's, not another Ruben Deleisa Kaman. Now, should you be Mechalik in which direction? We say Ruben Bechazaka, Ruben Adif. So if you're Efsa Levar and Tzarech Levar in a row, you'd say Kol Shekein in Chazaka. However, again, my view is, and I think you can prove this, I think we did last year with Aaron Kulin, also, and that requires much more of a discussion, that Ruba the Chazaka, Ruba Adif, is only one dimension. It's not a straightforward linear hierarchy, which is stronger, which is better. It's that they're different. So when you have probability, which relates to the particular case, you know, maybe that overrides mukzakos, which is simply, if we don't know there's a change, we're not looking for trouble. We're assuming that the status quo endures. But when it's not a clash between rove and chazak, in other words, the rove may render the mukzakos kind of irrelevant. That's not the relevant question anymore. But when Chazaka or Rove, right, are applied, they simply work differently. And that different dynamic, you know, has kulas and kumas. So it's not necessarily true that Ruba v'chazaka Ruba adif, and therefore, if Asher Levar Tzor Chavar Barov, then who adif v'chazaka? It might be that, you know, the mochazakus of projecting that nothing changes, you know, is not considered, you know, being so meich in the same way. And it's basically, well, there's no problem. It's not a resolution. A resolution needs a better resolution. Or when you need a resolution, maybe there's no safek if hefshel levar. But when there's not necessarily a problem, maybe that continues to be true even if hefshel levar. Hefshel levar, that there'll be a problem? Maybe there's a problem? Maybe the change, there was a change in status quo. So that might be the idea of the bach. Then the question whether bedikas chametz is considered to be, you know, a mochzakus, or what is it? If you're talking about the be'en, if you're talking about the bias, etc., that becomes a very interesting question. Okay? We'd have to stop. So I'm sorry I didn't get to it. I'll try to do an echad and some aspects of bittul on Monday. I'm just trying to think if there's anything I left out that I really wanted to speak about. Anything I gave you a look at that we didn't talk about specifically? No? Any questions before we stop? Yeah.
I thought Rabbi was saying that Lechule Amba in Arskumbia, the Chazaka has been a part of his Medin Rome. Meaning,
who would say Mukzakus by Cheskat Avadim? Say that again? In our sugya, it seems pretty clear that you would say that this is a Ruba Delesa. Come on, that's what you said. Yeah. No, I'm just saying that the chiluk of the Bach, which is between Trefa on the one side and Bedikas Chametz and Robin Tzvina's Shechita Mubkenhein, instead of just being an adjustment on Yeshua Nasasafe, Yesh Birur is supposed to after all, which I think is what the Beit Yosef is saying, and the Bach is saying the same thing, he's just drawing a line in a different place. It could be that what he's really saying is that our Gemara about Bedika and the Gemara about Rav Mitzvah Neitzel Shechita are Rov cases, whereas Trefa is a Mukzakos case. Now, I'm also saying in addition to that, let me make it clear, I think this is what you're asking, it's good you asked it. That, so now, let's say we were to encounter, like this question of Bidikas Chametz, in a slightly different way. Let's say the suffix was not whether or not the maskir, you know, fulfilled his obligation to do a Bidika before he left. Let's say the question, you know, revolved around whether this is a makom shemachnis nivolas hachametz, right? Or whether or not there was some sort of a disruption after the bedika, and all the different types of suffek bedika that I mentioned before. So then, the question of whether you focus on the be'en or whether you focus on the bias may emerge as being koveya, whether what we're talking about is mukhzakus or we're talking about rov, and whether we're talking about something which is, you know, default baduk. Or not. In either direction, depending on the case. That's kind of what I was trying to add. And that would explain, again, a little more, like this Ramah discussion with the Magen Avraham, but to being the Chalik. By the way, I think in Shulchan Aruch, in Or HaChaim, on the Magen Avraham, somebody has it there, is the Ber Heitev? What? I don't know. I mean, they have the Kor HaChaim, but they don't have the Ber Heitev. Nice. Right. No, that's a good choice, but very thing. I think it's very thing. I think some of the poskim in Shulchan Aruch and Or HaChaim discuss, you know, regarding the Ramah, Magen Avraham, you know, issue about his Chazak Yisura, that maybe I think it would make a difference if you're talking about a different kind of Safek Bedika. Not Safek whether the Chaber, whether the Maskir did the Bedika, but again, like we said, but Safek whether the bedika was undone, you know, suffik whether it's a makom shemachnis nivo sachametz, you know, that kind of question. I think that would play
in. It is in the Ber Heitev.
It is? You have it? Yeah, go ahead, Nathan, read it.
Yeah, he says, shehochsach shelo badgu,
משמע דווקא דחי אגב נא שהוא בחזקה שאינו בדוק, אבל המוקסוק שיש בו ודאי חמץ, ואמרו אנו בדקנו ביארנו אפשר דיינו נאמנים, ונסתלק בזה תמיאס המגן אברהם הרמה.
Yeah, excellent. So that's the Behete that goes on the record. But of course, as I say, there are like maybe four different scenarios. And then the factor of, you know, what the mitzvah bedikas chametz is really all about definitely comes into play. Now, of course, the Cheskas Issa question itself, the Magen Avraham, the Rama, is critical to the Eidecha Neman, the Surin issue. And that we'll talk about in Yotz Hashem on Monday. So Monday, let's try for 12:30. We'll try to split it up. You know, part of the shiur just on Rashi Prakim about the Eidecha Neman, the Surin issue. And then to discuss some of the debates about the Bittul per se, but also how it fits into Rabbi Shmuel, Lifnei Lachar Zman Isuro, whether it has anything to do with Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, and some of those issues as well. But again, we won't complete it, but it'll be enough of a taste at least going into the Bechina, where mostly we have a Gavra Shalim, and we'll probably have to tweak it and add just a little bit, one more shear at some point before we continue with the next Gemaras about Chatzos. Okay? Okay. Oh, sorry, I went so late.
Right.